Well, the hype is on. Millions and millions of people are planning to watch the Super Bowl in just 2 days. I wonder what a newcomer to that event might think. Suppose for a moment that someone in some remote corner of the globe turned on a television set this Sunday and saw American football for the very first time. I'm sure there are things about it that would be puzzling. First of all, the shape of the ball. The ball of every other sport in the world is round, I think, but this one is tapered. And apparently with good reason. Its contour seems to be aerodynamically more suitable for traveling long distances. Then there are those guys in black and white striped shirts. How does this work? They're about half the size of the guys in colored uniforms, and yet they tell the big guys when to start, stop, and get out of the game. But again, there's a logical explanation that the referees are the ones who have been given the authority to control the events in the field. There is, however, an activity for which there doesn't seem to be much of an explanation, at least as far as I can see. It's that event which sometimes takes place in the final moments of the game, when two players who feel confident of a victory take a big container of liquid and pour it all over the head of the coach. And just as puzzling, I suppose, is the fact that the coach doesn't seem to mind. There must be some kind of background to this tradition. Perhaps somebody can explain it to me later. This morning, however, I plan to focus instead on another type of outpouring, a pouring out of water, which must also seem strange to those who don't understand its background and significance. I'm speaking of Christian baptism. There are things between Christian baptism, even though it is a world apart from the outpouring of water on a coach's head, there are still some things that might be viewed as somewhat similar. One of which is that both activities are directly linked to victory. Listen again to the victorious overtones of the baptism of the eunuch from Ethiopia. When the evangelist Philip caught up with the chariot of the official, he heard the eunuch reading from the prophet Isaiah and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone explains it to me?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began with the same scripture and preached Jesus to him. And as they went on their way, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what should stop me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. There are some similarities, aren't there? Until a person is assured of the victory in a football game, the designated liquid is held in reserve. Similarly, Philip proceeded with the baptizing of the adult eunuch only when the Ethiopian was convinced of the victory that was his in Christ Jesus. It was after the official said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," that Philip proceeded to apply the water which the Lord himself prescribed. For an adult, baptism is a declaration of one's understanding that he or she is now victorious through the death and resurrection of Jesus. One of the points to be made today, however, is that it's also much more than that. Many churches in our day, many religious leaders, unfortunately, view baptism in much the same way that they might view the pouring of water or of Gatorade over the coach's head at the end of a game, merely as something external, as a symbolic gesture, as only a sign of triumph, something done to acknowledge Christ as Savior. But in fact, baptism is much more. When we were baptized, when we had water applied to our heads in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it was much more than just a symbol of our victory in Christ. It was more than just a custom. It was something that was done for the purpose of our salvation. Paul, in speaking about baptism, refers to it as a washing of regeneration, a washing of rebirth and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Scripture reveals that baptism is one of the tools which the Holy Spirit uses to save us. And how can that be? Simply put, baptism is the gospel. It's the good news that Jesus has paid the price for our sins and washed away our guilt. It's the gospel of forgiveness put in visible form. And we know what the Bible says about the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is that which creates and sustains faith. And since baptism is nothing other than the gospel, it's correct to say that it creates and sustains faith. Peter wrote, "Baptism now saves you." The gift of the Spirit comes through baptism, which is water used in connection with God's name. Now, most of us here were baptized as infants. This tool of the Holy Spirit was put to good use early on. For many of us, that took place decades ago. Does the baptism which took place so long ago still benefit us today? Yes, as we make use of it. Do you suppose any of the winning coaches of previous Super Bowls ever look back and think about how they were splashed? Of course. How much more shouldn't we then daily look back on our baptisms? When the devil assaults us with doubts as to our good standing with God, the best thing we can do is to look back to our baptism. It assures us that we've been washed, that our sins are forgiven. And by bringing that gospel assurance to us again and again, our baptism strengthens our faith even now, years later. It saves, as Peter declares. Perhaps you too have seen in some Christian homes how baptismal certificates have been framed and hung on walls. A few generations ago, they were often real works of art, very elaborate, highly ornamented, apparently designed for display. And what a fine tradition that is. For what could possibly do us more good than to be reminded that we've been baptized, saved? It seems safe to predict that in 2 days this Sunday, there will be one very happy, very wet football coach. But that's not really all that important. His fame will fade, his ring will tarnish, his trophy will turn to dust. Of far greater importance is the fact that our heads were once made wet by the holy sacrament of the triune God. For our baptism means a victory of everlasting kind. Not only does it symbolize the forgiveness of sins, it works the forgiveness of sins by creating and sustaining faith. All who believe and are baptized have a glory that does not diminish, a crown that does not tarnish, a life that does not end. So let's use our baptism that we, like the Ethiopian, may also go on our way rejoicing.